our heart condition stops. It blocks or it overrides everything else we do. You can fast all you want to. You can pray all night. You can do a lot of things that we consider are very spiritual. It never gains credibility before God until your heart is subject to Him.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
To speak to you today, something the Lord has been impressing on my heart on the subject, my heart veto. Everybody say that with me. No, say like you mean it. My heart veto. Every human being, every single one of us sitting here, and all 8 billion of us on the face of the earth, the scripture says that we are spirit beings. We possess a soul. And the body you live in is only a covering or a suit that you live in. To put it in another way, you have a spiritual part of you and you have a physical part of you. On your physical side, you have a heart. Everybody touch your heart. You have what? A heart. On your spiritual side, you also have a heart. And the focus of this message is not your physical heart, but the spiritual heart. The one that really matters. The one that God relates to. The one that is important to Him. So let's begin with a definition. The heart is your subconscious mind. This is metaphysics. This is not Bible. Your heart is your subconscious mind. What do I mean by that? We think with our minds and we also think with our hearts. In other words, your mind processes. That is the thinking part. But your mind also stores. That is your heart. The things you process in your head for so long get stored, and once it gets stored over time, that is or that becomes your heart. This is why repetition is dangerous, because the things you repeat over time now becomes your heart. Even though the heart is formed by your mind processing stuff, it turns around and controls the mind. Are you with me today? The heart controls your motives. It controls your motivations. In that respect, it simply means that your heart controls your actions. It controls your desires. It controls every single thing you do. Did you guys just understand what I just shared with you? So your heart is that part of your mind that stores the things that are being processed each day. And it ends up controlling every part of you. So you may think one thing and do the other because your heart is the one in charge. That is why you need to be careful what you are thinking and what you are taking in each day. Many believers think that their minds are not part of their spiritual walk. I want to remind you, Romans 7:25 says, "For it is with the heart we serve the Lord." It is part of it. In fact, all the battles of life is aimed at your mind and it focuses down into your heart. Are you here with me today? A veto is the legal power to unilaterally stop an official action. I will explain that to you. If you take the United States, there are three branches of government that rules. The president, which is called the executive, the legislature, which is both houses of Congress, and then the judiciary, which is the Supreme Court. Enshrined in the Constitution is a veto power given to the president. What does it mean? He has the ability to override certain things. So Congress, with all those 430 people, can sit down and they will come up with a law. And the law must become binding. But because of the veto power of the president, he can simply say, I override everything you just did. Did you guys just get a picture? Your heart has the ability to veto, to override everything you do. And I want us to pay attention to our hearts. And that is why the title of my message is My Heart Veto. Everybody say, my heart veto. Let me get a little bit deeper into the word veto. The word veto means to say no to a vote. It is to block a decision. It is an official way of saying no. Please notice, when people vote, it is V-O-T-E. Veto is V-E, the reverse of it. In other words, whenever something is vetoed, it has the ability, in spite of the number of people who are voting for that thing, it has the ability to change it. And this morning, I want you to listen very carefully. What has my heart got to do, or what has veto got to do with my heart? Our heart's condition vetoes our actions. Say that with me, everybody. You seem subdued. Say it like you mean it. Let's say it again. My heart condition vetoes my actions. In other words, our heart condition stops. It blocks or it overrides everything else we do. You can fast all you want to. You can pray all night. You can do a lot of things that we consider are very spiritual. It never gains credibility before God until your heart is subject to Him. I have seen many believers pray. We can spend 21 days and do the things we are doing if it is not coming from a heart that is surrendered to God. We are simply wasting our time. It was a religious exercise. Please hear me and hear what I am not saying. I am not saying that praying is bad. I am not saying fasting is wrong. I am not saying that all the spiritual things we are supposed to do is wrong. I am saying that when those things that we do are not connected to our hearts that are subject to God, nothing is going to work. Write this down. Your fast is as potent as the condition of your heart. When your fasting and prayer gains potency, it is only because it is connected to a heart that is truly dead to self. There are many believers who come to church, who do things for God, but our hearts are not for Him. And today I am going to ask you to stop pointing a finger at somebody else and look at your own self. Because your heart will keep overriding. It will veto anything. you do. My heart conditions, vetoes any and every spiritual activity I engage in. Let me walk you through a few verses. The book of Jeremiah 17. Look with me there in the 10th verse. I'll read from the King James. And I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What is God saying? He's saying there are things you're going to do, your ways. There are fruits. There are things you are into, but my answer will always be based on the condition of your heart. Let me read the same verse in a Message Bible. But I, God, search the heart and I examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. In other words, when your heart is not connected to your fasting is a pretension. I already asked you to forgive me because the words will sound very strong and harsh, but I want us to get better. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Proverbs chapter 4, look at the 23rd verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life. The Bible says your heart controls everything else that you do in life. It vetoes it. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Read with me, shall we? If you can, go. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. God is saying it is okay to search for me. It is okay for you to look for me. But it must be done from your. It must be done from your. Matthew chapter 15. Look at the 8th verse. Matthew 15 and verse 8. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Please notice the two things happening in the text. People are drawing near to God. Is that not a good thing? People are honoring God. Is that not a good thing? But God says, you can draw near to me, you can honor me, but as long as it does not have a heart connection, a heart that is devoted to me and me alone, your drawing near, your honoring me is a waste of time. Your heart vetoes it. So you'll find people who go to church many, many, many years and they are still the same. They ask questions like, where in the Bible has it been written that I can't drink alcohol? Where in the Bible does it say I cannot look at another woman? When you begin to function like that, it is a clear indication that you have a heart problem. Proverbs 23, look at the 26th verse. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me your heart. God is not after anything but your heart. And until we release our hearts to him, there are a lot of things we are drawing near. We are honoring him. We are seeking him. And he says, you will not find me. Everything you do stems from your heart condition. I would dare say this, and this is what God told me one time. I said, Lord, give me a lot of power so that after teaching, we can perform some miracles. And he says, never ask me for anointing and power. Just ask me to keep changing your heart, because once your heart is changed, I will do the rest of the other things. This is why people skip and go for voodoo. Just so, because they are not willing to let God take over their hearts. There are many marriages destroyed today because self is enthroned in the heart. Today, give it over to him. I said, today, do what? Give it over to him. You may not know if there is a murderer in you until the opportunity presents itself. Pastor, what is that supposed to mean? When you look at the child David, when he was playing the harp, and when he was killing a giant, didn't look like someone who had the ability to take somebody's wife and kill the person? The Bible says the heart is desperately what? You don't even know your heart. How many of you agree that sometimes there are things you do and you wonder, is it me? This is why your whole Christian walk, when you pray, your prayer should be about one thing. God, change, transform my heart. Stop asking for things, because when God transforms your heart, the things will follow. And when God transforms your heart, if he has not given you something, it does not bother you. Are you here with me today? You may not know that you are capable of murder. You may not know you are capable of being power drunk until you are made a leader. There are tendencies in us that goes against the will of God. And your pursuit as a believer ought to be, Lord, take over my heart and create in me a clean heart. When we grow in certain levels of error for a long time and you are not doing anything about it, it's an indication of pride. Pride. You know what you're doing is wrong, yet you gloat in it and hide behind ba 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 ba. You understand ba 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 ba, right? Speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, your heart vetoes your tongues until you come to him and say, Lord, I see the reality of who I am. Change my heart. Turn me around for your glory. Transform me. Bring me to that place where I am walking with you. You find believers who are competitive. I call it competitive jealousy. You can't be part of anything unless you are the one leading it. Where is your heart going? If you are the one preaching, that's fine. If I'm not preaching, I can't show up. I have mentees, sons and daughters, who sometimes ask me, Pastor, can you give us your advice? The Lord is leading us to go and start our church. And my first question is, what is your motivation? Is it because you don't have a platform inside the building? Check your heart. Check it. The old me, I'm telling you, some of you who fool around here, I will silence you like that. But the more I give my heart to him, sometimes you say, son, that's a distraction. You used to be like that and I'm taking you somewhere. Don't pay attention to that. Go with me. Go with me. And so my heart keeps going out to when I see people like that. We must come to that place where we own this. Musicians, why are you singing? Is it so that people can see that you are good? Sometimes I'll hear things like, oh, it is time for us to sing praises and shake ourselves. Praises is not about shaking ourselves, because the object of our praise is God. What is your motivation for coming to church? Remember, the heart controls the motives and the motivations. What is your motive? What is my motivation for standing here to preach so that people can see I can preach? If that is what it is, the Bible says, I already got my reward here on earth. This is why the scripture says, someday many will come and Jesus will look at them and says, I don't know you. Why? Because He's interested in the heart. And the heart has never been given to him. If you have an addiction, you have a heart problem. Did you just hear me? Once the Lord takes over the heart, he will give you the strength to overcome that addiction. 12-step program is fine. You'll be in remission for 4 months. And you realize you are back there again. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. So the question we need to answer is, what is the heart condition that God is looking for? He's looking for a heart that lives only to reveal Christ. Let's try and give our tracts to people in the city so that they will know our church is there too. Wrong motive. Let's give them the tract so that they will come to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Correct motive. Are you with me today? I want you to put your hands on the physical heart, but thinking about your spiritual heart, and say, Lord, say with me, help me, that from today, I will give my heart constantly, moment by moment, to you. What is the heart condition that God is looking for? It is the heart that says that Christ is glorified is your only motivation, not one of them. When I preach, when I give, when I sing, when I sweep, whatever it is that we're doing, when we usher, we do it because we want God to be glorified. It is the only reason, only motivation. Any other motivation, your heart still needs to be worked on. And the truth is, your heart condition must be worked on till the day you die, because the human heart is very deceptive. So whenever you step in prayer and you are praying, don't rush to say things before God, because your heart will veto the things you are saying. You must work on it first. There was a brother that I knew. The guy can sing very powerfully. One day he called me and said, Pastor, what would be your advice? Because I sense a call to be a pastor. It's a general thing I always ask. I said, what is your motivation? And he said, it's God. If you say it's God, then I have to keep quiet. I have nothing else to say. So he began his ministry. People were flocking in. And people started saying, you are so good. You are better than the other pastor. See, when the heart is not right, it receives that and says, I'm good. And God never shares his glory with no man. Until all of a sudden he began to find that things were happening in his life. And because of the public image, he has to keep covering up the private stuff. Some of us sitting here who are married, you are capable of adultery. It's just that the opportunity has not presented itself. You give that heart over to the Lord. And until you do, you are capable of anything. All of us, we are capable of anything. I really don't like the way my wife is behaving. This woman is full of something. Do a heart check and you realize that she's not the problem. Because there's something in your heart that makes you speak the way. Didn't the scripture says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth what? Good things. Luke 6:45. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth what? Evil things. So the more evil you bring out, that is the condition of that heart. We need to be careful, because you can fast for 21 days. And when you are done, you realize you are back to square one. Why? Because your heart has vetoed the entire process. So next week, when we get to that part that says personal, I want us to spend time to cry to God to change our hearts. Are you with me? Let me ask you a question. Why did you leave the job you were in? Sometimes we give reasons like, there is somebody at that job place who doesn't like me. They are on my case. I see people laughing. Am I stepping on your toes? Why? Didn't you pray for that job? You prayed for it. And you believed the day, first day you went there, that the Lord has done a miracle. Only after a few weeks, because somebody didn't like you, all of a sudden you are walking away. What is your motivation? If your motivation is always about Christ glorified, it is the only motivation, not the money, that I went to that place because I wanted Christ to be glorified. A heart that has only one motivation, to reveal Christ, that is the heart that is being surrendered to him. Not reveal Christ a little and also reveal myself a little. The truth is, either Jesus is Lord of all or he's none at all. He does not share his place with anyone. Are you ready to do a heart check? It is destroying the church of Jesus today. Pastors who are in my shoes sometimes just are rushing just only to be called senior pastor so they will feel good. I remember I went to a place, and when I walked in there, somebody handed me a camera to take them a picture. And there was somebody else with me, and the person felt offended that, are you going to give the senior pastor a camera to take a picture? And I said, cool, cool. Give the camera to me. Some years ago, I wouldn't take the camera. I'll tell you that. I am a senior pastor. But when the Lord works on your heart, these things don't mean anything. Because I grab the camera, and later on, I can use that moment to tell you about him. Raise your right hand and say this after me. Please say like you mean it. Christ is the only motivation of my heart. I pray that it will be so with all of us. So let's answer the most important question, because as soon as I'm done, we're all going to, if you feel like just coming lying down on the pulpit, wherever you are, but we're going to pray till we close. Would that be okay for us to do so? Sometimes I've seen adults worried over our children. When will the children serve God? The truth is, we are the problem. Because they realize that our hearts are not in what we are doing. And this generation, if their hearts are not into something, they don't want to what? They don't want to do it. The way you treat your wife will determine if your children will marry. Because they look at that and said, if that is how wives are supposed to be treated, the marriage is not for me, because I ain't going to take that from no man. How do I work on my heart? Number one, ask God to give you a new heart. You cannot make the heart. Only God is the one who made it, and he will give you a new one. In fact, it is our covenant right. In the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, he says, for this is the covenant that I will make with you, with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And I'll put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So in the new covenant, God promises a new what? In the new covenant, God promises a new one. Because you can't make it. He's the one going to do it. But we must allow him to work on it. And when he's working on it, it's very difficult. The book of Deuteronomy, I think that chapter 10 or verse 11, something like that. He says, circumcise your heart. So God started with this business of the heart, not in the New Testament. It was back in the Old Testament. your heart vetoes. You can go on 80 days fasting. God is looking at your heart. Is that heart dead to self? Is that heart ready to go back?
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.